Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday, October 10th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and this podcast is available at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAraids.net. A couple pieces of news to talk about today, one fight announcement. Let's get right into it. So UFC Tampa, a lot of controversy yesterday. Report by Combachi that Joanna Jędrzejczyk was likely going to miss weight for her fight with Michelle Waterson this Saturday night in Tampa. And some conflicting reports. Joanna is out there now on her social media saying she's going to make weight. Michelle Waterson says she talked to the UFC, who offered her some sort of catchweight bout. She says she wants to fight at catchweight, but the report back came back. She said Michelle Waterson wasn't open to it. There's a lot of confusion, a lot going on here. Mike Dolce said that George Lockhart was working with Joanna and said that he blew her weight cut, and now she's working with the UFC PI, which contributed to the issue. So just a lot going on, and I don't feel like we know the whole story, so it's kind of crazy, but hopefully she makes weight. She says she's going to make weight. She said the weigh-in the Friday, I'll make weight for the card. So you got to trust the fighter on this one. She has another day to make the weight. She has struggled a little bit in the past to make weight. I don't think she's actually missed weight, but obviously she's kind of grown out of that weight class, I think. I don't know. Like, her last fight was at flyweight. She's coming back down. She hasn't fought in 10 months. I think she was always going to have a problem making weight as the bigger fighter here. But at the same time, you know, Joanna is a very professional fighter, and I think she'll do everything in her power to make the weight. I've seen some tweets and opinions from people saying, you know, the UFC is forcing her to fight this weight class, and if she can't make the weight, then why is the UFC forcing her to make weight? It's like she signed the contract to make 115 or 116 for the non-title fights, but you can't blame the UFC for this. It's not their fault that she's struggling to make weight. You know, she could have went to the UFC PI earlier. She could have did her weight cut differently. It's not the UFC's fault. So I really don't understand how the UFC can be blamed for this. Like, they can be blamed for a lot of stuff that's happening in the sport, but I don't think a fighter missing weight is the UFC's fault at all. So this is on Joanna if she misses. Hopefully she does it. Hopefully she makes weight and the fight goes on. It'd be better if the fight does happen at the strawweight weight class, because the winner probably gets a title shot. It's either the winner of this fight or Tatiana Suarez next line for Willie Zhang. I think Joanna and Jędrzejczyk versus Willie Zhang would be a great fight. Worship Waterson versus Zhang would be a great fight. Even Suarez versus Zhang would be a great fight. So one of those three will get the title shot, but they have to make weight. Waterson will make the weight, but Joanna, it's kind of up in the air at this point, but she's very adamant she will make it. So you got to trust the fighter on this one, but you know, the reports have been very conflicting. So I don't think anyone has any clue what's going on with this weight cut. Hopefully she makes it. Hopefully the fight goes on and we have a main event for UFC Tampa, because if not, it's going to be Cub Swanson versus Kron Gracie in the main event. And I don't think anyone wants that to be the main event. So hopefully she makes the weight. Hopefully the fight goes on. We'll watch it Saturday night. Thiago Santos was interviewed by Guillermo Cruz of MMAfighting.com. Really good interview. Going through his rehab process. He says he wants John Jones and he doesn't want a tune-up fight. He wants a rematch right away when he gets back. And it's hard to argue he doesn't deserve one. I mean, that fight was super close. I thought he won. A lot of people thought he won. 48-47. Super, super close fight. Great fight. He absolutely deserves it. He pretty much took Jones to the brink in that one. Basically was the, you know, most competitive fighter Jones has ever fought against him. Gustafson was super close in that fight, but I think Santos is even closer to beating Jones. And I'm not counting the Matt Hamill fight. That's ridiculous. That was just bad refereeing by Steve Mazzagatti. So I'd like to see the Santos-Jones rematch personally. I think it'd be a good fight. But I feel like he probably does need to get at least one fight in. So I know he doesn't want to get a tune-up fight, and he wants to get back in the cage right away. But after that, those devastating knee injuries, he double knee surgery. So he's going to have to, I think, take it. I feel like the winner of Weidman and Reyes next week is probably going to have the next fight with Jones. I just feel like with the timing with Jones looking for a fight right now, with that fight happening next week, I feel like the winner of that will get it. Although I guess the winner of Blachowicz and Souza could also jump up there if they have a very impressive performance. So, you know, Santos, he deserves a rematch, but I feel like he probably has to fight one more time before he gets it. Paul Felder's out there now, and there was talked the other day that he could fight Barboza in a trilogy fight, and I'd love to see that fight personally, but he's out there now saying he wants to fight Dan Hooker. He called him out in a very creative way on Twitter. You go check his Twitter out. It's really funny stuff. Good stuff by Paul Felder. I think this is a great fight. Actually, this is the first fight I said when the fight with Hooker and I quit dead. I said, I'd like to see Hooker versus Felder, and then Hooker called out Poirier, and I'm like, okay, that's a good fight too. So I kind of put that on the back burner, but I said this right away personally. They're ranked literally beside each other in the division, 6 and 7. And here, get this, they're both on 2-5 win streaks, but get this, they're both 9-4 in the UFC. They have identical UFC records. They're ranked beside each other. This fight makes a lot of sense. It'd be a great fight, two strikers going at it. I'd love to see this matchup, Paul Felder versus Dan Hooker. So if Dan Hooker doesn't get that fight with Poirier or even Gaethje that he wants because he's calling those guys out, then I think Felder would be a great fight for him. You could do that as the main event of UFC New Zealand, five rounds, Paul Felder versus Dan Hooker. And if not, Paul Felder versus Barboza works too for me, and Hooker versus someone else. There's a lot of really good lightweights that are available right now. The UFC just has to kind of mix and match how they're going to do the fight. So Felder versus Hooker sounds good to me, but if not, there's other good fights for both guys. Henry Cejudo was interviewed recently, and he spoke about his belts, and basically he admitted that he probably has to vacate one of his titles. He hasn't fought, obviously, since June, and he won't be fighting until next year because of injuries and stuff. And there's guys at 125 and 135 that are waiting for their title shots, so he pretty much has to choose a division now. 125, Benavidez obviously deserves that title shot, and at 135, there's a bunch of guys, Sterling, Yan, a couple other guys I'm forgetting about here. So he's going to have to kind of figure out what he wants to do. I feel like he'll stay at 135. That weight cut to 125, from what he said, is just brutal. And at 135, he looks great. So I feel like Cejudo, if he has to choose, he'll stay at 135. It's unfortunate because I do want to see that rematch with Benavidez. But for the best of his career, I think he'll just drop that belt, move to 135, and then let the 125ers battle it out for that vacant title. You could do Benavidez versus – I really don't even know who he'd fight, actually. Maybe you just give it to him. You just give him the belt. But there are other fights at 125 that those guys can figure out the title. And, you know, for Cejudo, the money fights are 135. Let's be honest here. Benavidez is a really good fighter, and he deserves a title shot, but he doesn't really move the needle. There's guys at 135 that do move the needle. Even guys like Uriah Faber, Frankie Edgar dropping down. Faber's already there, but Edgar's dropping down. So there's guys at 135 that he could fight that are bigger names and I think bigger money fights. So that's where I feel like he'll stay if he has to choose. Robert Whittaker also spoke recently, and he said he's early 2020. Makes sense to me. He did take some damage in this fight, got knocked down twice, got knocked out, obviously. But I wouldn't want to sit around too long if I was him either. I mean, after you get finished like that, you lose your belt, you obviously are going to be upset and stuff, but he's only fought once in the last year and a half. So I think he's smart to be like, you know what, I'm going to get in there quickly. I hope he does take like a month off after this fight, at least just to clear the cobwebs. But once he's ready to go, he shouldn't be fighting. And maybe that New Zealand card, I know it's kind of crazy. Maybe he'll be the co-main event to Dan Hooker in that card, because I feel like Hooker does deserve that main event slot now. But you could do Whittaker versus someone in the co-main event. Like, you could do him versus the loser of Gastelum versus Till. You could do him against Jared Cannonier or Jack Hermanson. There's a lot of good fights for Rob Whittaker. So only 28 years old. Don't write this guy off just yet. Yeah, he did lose status on it. He got smoked, but don't write him off, man. Rob Whittaker's been counted out many times in his career. But the guy before the loss to Adesanya was super hot, 8-0 at middleweight. And I'm not counting him out just yet. He's only 28, still super young, very talented guy. I think he'll be back. And I think he'll do really well once he does return to the octagon. And hopefully he can fight more actively. When you only fight once a year or once every year and a half, it's very hard to really get that rhythm going. And we saw that against Adesanya. Just looked out of sync, and it cost him. Fabricio Werdum is also at that media event at Dominance MMA media event in LA, and he said that he's returning next year, and he expects to fight up to five more times in his career. He is over 40 years old now, but the guy's still talented. Heavyweight division always needs contenders. You know, you look at the top 15, there just really isn't too many guys out there right now that are fresh title shot contenders. So Werdum, he hasn't fought DC yet. I mean, DC probably is going to retire, but he has fought Stipe. Maybe he could do the rewatch, though. Nagano versus Werdum hasn't happened yet. So there's other fights for Werdum. I do think he'll do pretty well when he comes back. He's a very talented guy, really big heavyweight, finishing power, submission ability, obviously wrestling. So he's a talented guy, but you know, the USADA thing obviously scares me because you never know what he was doing. He says he didn't do anything, but you got to wonder. But I do think he's a talented guy, and that division's very weak. So I think Werdum will come back and actually have quite a bit of success in the UFC when he returns. And one fight announcement here, UFC Sao Paulo gets a middleweight fight between Antonio Arroyo and Alessio De Chirico. Kevin Holland's obviously been removed from that fight. So now we have here just coming off a loss in his last fight to Magomed Muradov. That was just a couple weeks ago at UFC Copenhagen. Overall, he's 3-4 in the UFC. He took this fight on short notice, filling in for Holland, who fought in that same card, actually. He's fighting at Boston next week. And then Antonio Arroyo, he's, I believe, a Contender Series guy. Yep, Contender Series. He picked up a nice win there. Steven Regman submitted submission. Also, Diego Henrique on the Brazilian Contender Series last year. He's on a five-fight win streak right now at the moment. To be fair, he hasn't really fought a high-level competition. De Chirico's fought better guys, but Yeah, you know, I do kind of favor DeChirco a little bit here. I don't know, he just fought better competition. I know he didn't look great in that last fight, obviously, but I do believe he will win this fight. So that'd be my guess right now. I'll have to think about it a little bit more. But yes, DeChirco replacing Holland against Antonio Arroyo. And should be a good fight. That card is the Jan Błachowicz versus Jacare Souza fight. And should be a pretty good card. Some other good fights on that event as well. And I should mention that the odds are out for Mike Davis versus Thomas Gifford. Mike Davis opened at -190 favorite, and Gifford opened at +150. So I'm a little surprised by that because I did expect Gifford to open as a favorite considering the short notice for Mike Davis. But as I said yesterday, I actually favor Mike Davis in this fight. So the odds makers clearly agree with me. And actually, Davis has been steamed to -260, Gifford +180 right now. So people are just fading Thomas Gifford. And honestly, he hasn't looked too good in the UFC. Only one fight, to be fair, against Roberts, but or was Roberts, but didn't look good in that fight. And Mike Davis, he also didn't look good against Gilbert Burns, but at least he lost to like a really high level guy in Gilbert Burns. So Mike Davis right now favorites. I do lean towards that way, but honestly, with considering short notice, there is probably more value on Gifford, so I'd probably pass on this one. I was hoping to get a value on Davis as a dog, not happening. I should mention Bellator as well has a couple odds up for their card this weekend: Melvin Manhoef versus Yannick Mahadi, odds are up for that fight, and Alessio Sicara versus Cannon Grigsby, odds are up for that fight as well. So hopefully the full odds come out the next day or so, and PFL odds hopefully come out the next day or so as well. I will be breaking down the PFL and Bellator card tomorrow on the podcast. Hopefully I'm not coming on tomorrow, and the first thing I'm saying is you want to make way and the fight's canceled. So that's it for today's show, guys. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, go back and check out Tuesday's edition of the show. Myself and Cole Sheldon breaking down the complete UFC Tampa card. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Check me out at BJPenn.com, MMArings.net. Guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow breaking down the latest in the world of MMA. Have a good one. Bye.